السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. إن شاء الله we'll continue today in the series of Asma Allah al-Husna, the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the name of today, inshaAllah, is Al-Muhaymin. Al-Muhaymin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to reflect on it and to make it somehow clear, inshaAllah. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said many times before that we have to have some approach to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some system. What does the name mean? What does it mean? Meaning literally, what does that name, it's a name, but then in language and so forth, what it means. And then the application of this name in from the Quran and Sunnah and all around us. How is this name we can recognize around us? And thirdly, we know that we share the attributes of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created us from His attributes. So we do carry part of the attributes of Allah. So we need to know our share of that, understand it, and know how to use it as well. And all of that is under the big heading of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'una isma wa tis'atan wa tis'ina isma man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. The one who, for Allah, 99 names and attributes, he who ahsaha will enter Jannah. Okay, so ahsaha here meaning know what it is, understand it, recognize it, work with it. Once we do that, we will enter Jannah. So these halaqat, inshaAllah, it is a path to Jannah. It's a path to Jannah. It's a practical path to Jannah. Okay, you know the name, you know your share of it, you understand the name, you know what to do to realize this name. Okay. So, Al-Muhaymin, I don't know if there is any word in English that would give the meaning of Al-Muhaymin. Can anyone come up with a name?
Controller.
Okay. Controller is one. Okay. Okay. There is no one.
Dominator.
The one who dominates. Okay. So, and usually these are usually the names of Allah. We cannot, even in Arabic, when you say Muhaymin, you have a general understanding of it, but then you need to explain it a little bit to be able to identify or realize what this name is. Al-Muhaymin, of course, we are going one by one, names from Surah Al-Hashr, Al-Malik Al-Quddus Al-Salam Al-Mu'min. So this is the fifth Al-Muhaymin in this order. Now, Al-Muhaymin has to have knowledge. Al-Muhaymin has to be alim, have knowledge. So to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Muhaymin, or any haymana on anything, you have to have knowledge of it. You cannot be in control, you cannot be, some kind of a power on something unless you know, you have the knowledge, okay? But then, if you have the knowledge, then you must also have quwwa, ability to do something, okay? We as human beings, Sometimes we have knowledge, but we cannot do anything about it. Sometimes we have the strength, but we don't have the knowledge. Okay? But very few of us, very few, would have the strength and knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Al-Muhaymin, had the strength and knowledge, but something else. Al-istimrariya fil ilm wal qudra. To continue in control and in knowledge with no interference at all. Continue, constant. There's a constant component to this name. Okay? And that is Al-Muhaymin. Okay? You can have knowledge. A very few of us will have knowledge and ability to do things, but then you have no control to continue doing what you have to do. Okay? There are many variables around that could affect your ability to do or the ability of knowledge. Because you don't have a total knowledge, something can come up, disturb your work or what you do, or you can physically change and do not have the ability anymore, or the circumstances change around you to the point that you will not be in control of it. So you cannot be in continuously have the knowledge and ability and producing. So it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has the absolute knowledge of everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the absolute ability over everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never changes, and everything changes according to His command, and nothing affects Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Muhaymin. Okay? Now, there is a side components to this name. So now we don't really need to have a title, a name, one equal one, Muhaymin equal this, because now we know what a Muhaymin is. Okay? Muhammad, who has the knowledge, who has the ability to do things and continuously do that, and in a way of control. Now, also a side understanding of Al-Muhaymin is the one that does things in a way of compassion and rahmah. Okay? When you have abilities and you have some knowledge and you're doing something, what is the purpose of your action? Okay? Why you're doing what you're doing? Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason for His haymana and control and knowledge and power and continuously doing, bringing the result of kindness, love, and compassion. Okay? Because remember, we said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Quddus, the pure, that which happens around you, you might perceive some evil from it, but it is allowed by Allah to happen, therefore there is no absolute evil in it. So therefore, it is goodness and purity is in it. And Allah is as-salam, so Allah keeps harm away. So keeps things that Allah created, He created in a way of salamah, in a way of peace, and in a way of goodness at all times. So Allah is, see now, it is the sequence is working here. You know, we can get this sequence. Al-Mu'min, Al-Malik Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin. Now, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all these attributes that we talked about before, now the haymana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in goodness. In goodness. Okay. And we can now give examples of what we have seen of Al-Muhaymin in history and around us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed and inspired the mother of Musa alayhi salam to throw her son when she's afraid, she has fear, something would happen to him. Okay? فَقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّبُوتِ. Put him. Throw him in the box, and throw the box in the river. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Muhaymin. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has compassion toward Ummu Musa alayhi salam. and toward Musa alayhi salam, and have rahmah upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, وَصَنَعْتُكَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي, I made you over my eyes. Okay? So Allah is taking care of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of everything. Okay? Has the knowledge of who is coming to harm Musa alayhi salam and his mother. And has the knowledge of where the Pharaoh is and what he is planning and what's in his mind and his heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power, despite of all the what goes on around with the intention and the work and all of what the Pharaoh is doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to work things out for the mercy, okay, of man, to bring a messenger of Allah from among all these circumstances. And everyone will be doing their part and they do not even know it. They have no idea what they're doing. But it is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to get the box to in the Nile to the house of the Pharaoh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the love of the infant Musa alayhi salam in the heart of the wife of the Pharaoh. So, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي, and I throw in you love from me. The one who looks at you will fall in love with you. Okay? Because Allah is al-Muhaymin. Because Allah is al-Muhaymin. Now, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was about to be thrown in the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him in peace. Kept goodness coming out of this. Kept harm away from him. Has a knowledge of everything that was surrounding these circumstances. Of those who wants to harm him. Of the element that they use to harm him with. Of the control that they think, that they perceive they have over Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left everything as it is. Allah could have sent some rain and put out the fire. They could have said, if only it didn't rain. Okay? Allah could have made some, as they call it, quote-unquote, natural events. Okay? Something naturally happens as they perceive it as natural, as if Allah does, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa'adhibillah, does not have a hand in this, to change things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished to magnify His attributes here. In many attributes, among of these attributes is Al-Muhaymin. That here it is. You will be able to catch him. Okay? If they didn't catch him, you would have said, if you only caught him, you would have really killed him. But Allah enabled them to catch him. Enabled them to build the fire. Enabled them to throw him in the fire. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the fire, Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Allah has the knowledge, Allah has control, and Allah does what He wishes continuously, and no one has anything to do with it. Now, any of us here can give examples from the stories in the Quran of Allah is al-Muhaymin. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam, his whole life, right? Yusuf alayhi salam, as he was raised, you think what was happening to him, being thrown into the well, was the worst thing that happened, right? But it was the best thing that happened, because from that point on, things happened in his life that made him ripe to receive, to be a messenger of Allah or a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yunus alayhi salam, Prophet Yunus, Jonah, Yunus alayhi salam, when he all of a sudden found himself in the belly of the whale, of the fish, Imagine that. It was a matter of seconds or minutes. Okay, he was in the ship, and then was thrown overboard, and immediately now he is in a place that no human being have ever entered. Okay, can you imagine yourself in a dark room, in a closet, and there is no way that you can come out? How would you feel? It's totally dark, and you cannot come out. Now he knew where he was. He was thrown, and the whale took him, and the fish took him. And you know, the fish, the mouth of the fish would take what? Some says it takes how many tons of fish at one bite? When just open his mouth, it will take what? How many tons? Tons. Okay, at one bite. Now he is in there, so it's an area where he can sit now and reflect. And in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of the inside of the whale, and in the darkness of the depth of the sea, cannot see anything around you. Okay? It is the end. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muhaymin. Allah is in control of everything that goes on. And Allah will bring from that the best result. Okay? A lesson to Yunus alayhi salam. Okay? A dua that we all make. And the dua that he made, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Oh Allah, there's no God but you, Ya Allah. Praises be to you, Ya Allah. I was from those who committed injustice. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what after that? فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ We saved him from this gham that he was in. Huh? Gham is a state of mind. A state of heart. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And this is how, this is for us. This is for us. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And this is how we save the believers. Okay, from al-gham. You know what gham is? Wahu can tell me what gham is.
Severe depression.
Huh? Stress. And so forth. You remember when Ali radiallahu anhu was asked about junudullah? Ma aqwa junudullah? He said, they are 10. The soldiers of Allah are 10. Okay? And subhanAllah was his mind that is present. He answered right away, 10. And then he said, the strongest jund, soldier of Allah, is the mountains. They are so big and so strong. And then he said, then the iron, because iron breaks through the rock. Then fire, because fire can melt the iron. Then water, because water can put out the fire. Then the cloud, because cloud carries water. Then the wind, because the wind moves the cloud. Then mankind, because mankind is able to protect himself from the build something to be protected from the wind. Then liquor, because liquor takes away the mind of mankind. Okay. Then sleep, because being asleep, okay, takes away the intoxication effect. Then al-gham, the last one, al-gham, because al-gham takes away the being able to sleep. So al-gham is the strongest enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the strongest soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. So when here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a gift of the story of Yunus alayhi salam, فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So if you are a believer, and you live to, we cannot have gham. You make this dua, when you're a believer, you make this dua, the gham is gone. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is how we save the believer from a gham. So if the gham is still there, then check your iman. Okay? Check your iman. And remember, the last word, the last attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mu'min. And al-mu'min is the one who tells the truth, the one who gives safety to everyone and everything around them. Okay? So if you're honest, you're trustworthy, and everybody in contact with you is benefiting from you, and people know exactly the do's and don'ts that you carry with the high virtues and attributes, then when gham reaches you, these words and this dua must go away. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Al-Muhaymin, his attribute as Al-Muhaymin is all around us. Okay? Things that happens that Allah is in control of, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the dua as he leaving his house. Okay? He would say, O Allah, anta as-suhbata fi as-safar, or anta as-sahibu fi as-safar. You are the companion in traveling. Okay? Remember the old days, you travel, you come out with the intention to travel. That's a big event. Okay? A big event, traveling, especially in the Arabian Peninsula with the heat and so forth. So you would make dua, O Allah, you are the companion in the travel. And you are the one who is a caretaker of the family and the money and the house and the household. That is a dua for Al-Muhaymin. See? Al-Muhaymin is the one who is with you as you're traveling, and with you or with the one that you left home. He is Al-Muhaymin. He has the knowledge of you and give you what you need. He's the knowledge of those that you left and give them what they need. And take care of them in a way of kindness with his power, his knowledge and his power is constant care. That is Al-Muhaymin. And we need to think of this attribute as such, that it is all around us, all around us. And the events that happens, despite of your plans, you must take it as in a way of kindness, in a way of acceptance, because it is the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muhaymin, he is have haymana upon this, and he wished to move it in a certain direction. So you should go with the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. Okay? You plan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. Okay? So a believer can never be upset when something does not work out or work out in a different way than he plans. Because he knows now that this is the best way. And sometimes in our life we know the reason eventually why, what is the wisdom behind it, and what is the goodness that came out of it. And sometimes we never know, but in the Day of Judgment we will know. So Allah is Al-Muhaymin, and we accept in this fact all around us. Okay? Let's look at the facts all around us of all the you know, the events that's going around in the world today. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changing things so rapidly, so rapidly. Do you know the effect or how great the event that's happening in the world today? It is so great, okay, that we should look at it as a major event that's happening in the world today, and we should be alert, very alert, okay, that the whole world going in a state of hunger, shortage of food. Okay? Do you know what that means? You know, when you are in one area, the shortage is in a certain place, but then, you know, there are other places that you can get from and so forth, and okay, there is some special condition here affecting this. Okay? So there is a hope, okay, this will be broken soon, okay? There's not too much rain here, but the rain will come. There is food over there, and I have money. Maybe we can get the food and so forth. There is some way out, okay? But look at the world today. Look at the areas where it has a lot of resources are being destroyed and have had earthquakes and so forth. Look at the areas here that has, you know, abundance of water in a way of punishment, okay, and the sources, the resources are getting less and less, it's already, that happened after we recognize and it happened, the shortage happened. Okay? Do you know what that means? It means Dajjal is very close. Dajjal, the presence of Dajjal is very close. Okay? Because this is something that you cannot fix in a day or two or a year or two. Okay? This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is moving the world in this direction. Okay? And that the Dajjal will be coming at a time of famine. Okay? And he will be the one, Allah will give him the ability to break this famine. So he will ask the sky to rain, it will rain. He will see the earth to bring its fruit, it will bring its fruit. Okay? When everybody will be anxious to get, as Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the people will look at a head of a cow as something so valuable. It's only for us that we know we can do with it, right? We can get the brain, we can eat this. Right? But the point is, you would look at this as something so valuable. Okay? So, here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is controlling the earth as he always did, but the events now is happening all over, affecting the east and west and what's in between. And the goodness will come out of that. Okay? What is this famine and so forth and hunger? Yes. Because the more calamity that will, and events as such will happen to all over the world, the more people are going to define themselves. The more you're going to define yourself. Remember the time, those who were here in the 70s, when there was a shortage in oil and gas, okay? And I remember cars used to, gas station used to put flags on the gas station. So when you drive in, you see a flag. If it's a red flag, it does not have any gas. So don't bother to stop, to go in. If it's green flag, you know that he has gas, okay? So now you have station that has a red flag, but then they tell you, we expecting, you know, the truck a delivery tomorrow. So you find people in cars parking in the gas station by the pump, okay? And coming out in the streets and all around in the neighborhood. So they take turns, okay? It was as such, anyone was here during that time? No? Okay. Okay. Now, you see the civil people, right? who smile to you, who do this and that and so forth, all of a sudden, they become like a person in the jungle, okay? If somebody dared to cut the line, a fight would break, okay? And yelling and hitting and all of this, you find just a little bit of pressure, okay? Brought people to make a decision who they are, to make a decision who they are, okay? This is going to happen globally. Globally. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the whole world will be fustatain, or fustatan, will be two camps. Camp the fustat al-iman wa fustat al-kufr, a camp of belief and a camp of disbelief, the whole world. So this is not going to happen, you know, you're going to push to make a choice. You're not going to be able to sit on the sideline. You have to make a choice. If you refuse to be with one, then you are in the other. Have to be in the other. Okay? And we see this changes that's happened very rapidly, and solutions that are being said. We're going to have this solution and that solution, and it's all, you know, words and ink on paper. Okay, and no one really knows what to do about this. So this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being magnified all around us worldwide today. Now, you as a creator or a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a human being, a believer. We carry that name. We carry the name of Al-Muhaymin, part of it, okay? As all the other names. So, how do we carry it? Okay, so remember we said about the name of Allah Al-Muhaymin, there is a three components that identify this name. So how can we apply these three points at us? What was the first one?
Knowledge.
So you as Muhaymin, you have to seek the knowledge. You have to see Allah has the knowledge, but your job is to seek it. And before anything, you seek the knowledge of Allah, the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the knowledge of the Sharia of Allah, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the knowledge of what to be and what you should never be, and so forth. You first seek the knowledge, okay? And then, what was the second? The ability to do something. So you seek the implementation of this knowledge. You seek the implementation of this knowledge upon yourself, upon those around you, your family, anything that you are interacting with. You become a knowledge that is moving and being positive. And the third was? Yes, but we can exert the effort to do that. Of course, we cannot absolutely be in control at all times, but we can exert the effort and not give up, okay? In trying continuously doing that, okay? And from our part, is something that we develop and we try to work with. But in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something innate in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's something Allah has, but it's something that we have the ability to develop, okay? And the reward is according to how much we do that, okay? Okay. And now, what is the side? The side notes, remember, what?
That's the hard part. That's the hardest part.
to do things with, you don't benefit from it, you have to be good.
Yes, you you can benefit from it, but and it has to be in goodness and kindness, okay. That is you know. Remember the names so far. What are the names so far? And let us go to the names we talked about so far and implemented on ourselves, okay. The first one was Al-Malik, the one who is the control, the king or the controller, have ownership, okay? So you have ownership, okay? Now you have ownership on your limbs, things that you're using, Allah give you temporary ownership, and you have a permanent ownership on your intention and control and desires, okay? So now, here is you have ownership. What is Al-Quddus? Pure, to purify. So now your job is to work in the purification, in the ownership that you have. Okay? So you remember we're reaching perfections here. Okay? Because the attributes of Allah is the perfect. Okay? It takes you to the highest level of manners. So now what you own is your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your feet, temporary ownership, and you need to purify them. You need to make sure that that which you see, that which you hear, that which you say, that which you do, that which you walk to is all pure, all good in the way of Allah. And intention, that is something that's absolutely, you are put free in that. You choose your intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it free for you. Okay? And left the ability to control yourself from desire is there. You're free. You try to do that. So, now how as-salam is the peace. And how to develop peace? Remember, we said to keep the harm away. This is something that is active now. With your mulk, the ownership that you have, and the way of purity, the way to do that is to keep the harm away and work in keeping the harm away. And Now, al-mu'min is the one that tells the truth, is a communication with others, and the one that gives safety to everyone around them. So you're not only working with your ownership now, you're working because now your other people are affected by your ownership, because we are not independent in our ownership. We are dependent on each other's ownership. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is independent. And everything that Allah owns needs Allah. But everything that we own, we need it. Okay? And Allah does not need anyone in His ownership, but we need Allah in our ownership, and we need each other in our ownership. So each one of us has a capacity and ability to do something and a talent in one way, and different than another, and we complement one another. So here is al-mu'min is the one that gives safety to other. The one that everybody expects something from them that is good. Okay? So now you walk into this life, and people know that you only goodness will come from you. They deal with you, they are your neighbors, and so forth and so on. And now you are, this goodness is coming and reflecting in everything around you, and everyone around you, and every creation around you. Now we get to al-muhaymin. Okay? Muhaymin, that's the one that seeks the knowledge, okay, and the one that does the work, okay, with the ability that Allah has given you in your ownership and in everything around, okay, and the one that constantly doing that, and the one that is your goal from all this work to bring peace, to bring rahmah, to bring mercy to everything around you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine now if we go out with these names until we finish the 99 names? What are we going to describe? What kind of a life it is? Okay? A perfect life on earth. But our job is to first to get the knowledge of it. To put it in perspective. You can understand it. Can something tangible now. And then there are footsteps or steps to try to acquire it. Okay? And now you can become a human being. A human being. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam, be, and he was. Okay? And Allah created man from his attributes, from his ruh and from his attributes. Okay? And there is a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَخَلَّقُوا بِخُلِقِ اللَّهِ. Have the manners of Allah. And this is the fruit of these discussions and these seeking knowledge in this, is to have the manners of Allah. And what are the manners of Allah? That we recognize through His attributes. So therefore, our manners, okay, has to be the manners of Allah. So we bring it up to the high level of these attributes. And who is the one that reached that level of perfection and a teacher to teach us to reach this high level of manners? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A living example for us for the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in action in a human being. Okay? That Rasulullah never said any filth out of his tongue. Never, you know, would put his eye on something that is haram. Never lend his ear to that which is haram. Never walked to that which is haram. Never done that which is haram. Okay? And everything he touched in a purified way. Try to bring goodness from it. And everywhere he went, created peace and developed that harmony between everyone and everything, even animals, even the trees that used to have some pain, a sound of pain, because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam built a minbar, he would go on the minbar and lift it, so it would give a sound. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves the minbar, go and put his hand on it, and tell it that, you know, you calm down and you will be with me in Jannah. So the sound gone away. Okay? That is a thing, a trunk of a tree, Okay? Now imagine animals, imagine human being and plant life and so forth. Here is Rasulullah having that effect on them. Okay, the enemies that Rasulullah make dua for them to come into Islam and bring from their offsprings those who say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And how Rasulullah always brought goodness everywhere he went. Okay? And everyone, even his enemy, knows what to expect from him. He was truly a mu'min. And Allah give us this name, Allah al-mu'min, we are mu'minun. And Rasulullah ﷺ is the leader and the best mu'min. The leader of all mu'mineen, and he is the best mu'min. So even his enemy, okay, when a man came to Rasulullah ﷺ, a Jewish man, came insulted Muhammad ﷺ even physically. And after he did, Muhammad ﷺ said, "So why am I not doing the same thing to you? What's stopping me from doing the same thing to you?" He said, "Because you are Rasulullah." He said, "Yes." Then he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." He said, "I was testing you, ya Rasulullah." Okay? He knew that Muhammad ﷺ will not bring or return a harm was a harm, or an insult was an insult. Okay? And Rasulullah ﷺ, in the way of muhaymin or haymana on things, subhanallah, Rasulullah ﷺ, in his life, you could never catch him inside an event. Meaning inside of it, consumed by it. He was never there. He was there physically, but he was always outside looking at the inside. So he would have a complete knowledge, or the best knowledge of what goes on, and make the best assessment of the situation, and make the best decision to bring the best result. And the companions would say that. We say Rasulullah ﷺ, when he first entered Medina, he did things that we did not quite, you know, things that you know, was you know, I did not know. He would go immediately and have treaties with all the tribes around Medina, have covenant with them, peace, treaty, and so forth. And they were not enemies. So why would Muhammad ﷺ go with them, go talk to them? Rasulullah ﷺ already thinking that Quraysh will not leave them alone, and they will try to make allies to those with those tribes around Medina, and so they can use them against the Muslimin. So Rasulullah ﷺ already proacted. He never reacted to things, always proacting to things. And he went and had the dealing with them and signed and took an oath with them to protect Medina and so forth. Okay. This proaction is an attribute of a person who have haymana on things. Okay? When we wait and think that things happen to us, we are reacting. We're not in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he used to proact in such a way that was amazing, because things that used to happen to him that demands a reaction, not a proaction. Demands a reaction. When physically something happened to him, a man grabs him, "Give me from what Allah has given you." How can you proact in such a situation? You immediately, for us, we react to this. You push the man's hand out, you tell him, "How could you say that? What's wrong with you?" Anything like that. Rasulullah ﷺ never did react it to himself. But he proacted in this situation, and we know what happened. He knew that this man is going to hellfire now because of what he's doing. So how to calm him down, to keep him away from the companions, take him to his own home, and give him until the man calms down. Proacted to get the best result, in control of the situation. Did the best it could happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a human being, makes a decision, the best of his ability, and that is not the best in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would correct Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. not correct him. He will advise him to do, because correct meaning something wrong that is corrected. But no, it is something that is was done in goodness, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring from it a better solution to this, or a judgment, to have to bring it up to a higher status because of the knowledge of Allah. Zayd radiallahu anhu, or Rasulullah sallam said, now you are Zayd ibn Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trying to make justice, give justice. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, call them with their father's name. That is aqsatu indallah. That is more just with Allah. In other words, ya Rasulullah, you did justice, but what Allah has is a higher level of justice. So here is, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with him to even give him more guidance. But when our deen is complete, when the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us is done, now we have the Quran and Sunnah, we have the knowledge to seek, okay? The complete knowledge to seek. So we have this knowledge that we can work with, and we are created for the reason is to worship Allah in a way of working with that knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. This is who we are. And continuously doing this in our lives. And when things does not come out, the result according to what our plans, we know that the plans of Allah is more just, more fair, better, will lead to two definite results, justice and goodness. Inshallah, please, if you would like to make any comments, inshallah. Okay. I'm going to ask you every week, so you better be alert every end of every. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Two things. You said give an example about Allah al-Muhaymin in the Quran. I mean, in my mind, the best example is the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, the way Islam, from one man in Mecca alone, orphan, does not have any support until he, within 23 years reach, the China, and this is al-Muhaymin. Right, I mean, how Allah created the environment all to go through. I mean, He killed all the non-believers. It's unbelievable. We all know the seerah. I was reading today about the famine, and Ethiopia, what they are doing now. Ethiopia, they're going attacking Somalia. There are such famine in Ethiopia. I was telling my wife, it's unbelievable to the point that they, even if they have the money, they cannot buy food. The World Organization, which is distributed, they said, we cannot because the gas price is too high and there is no enough food to give you. So the matter is not matter of money. I mean, Britain, United States could give them whatever money, but they don't have food. So it's reaching a point, yeah, you are right. I mean, it's scary. It's gonna, if the water keep coming in the Illinois and whatever those Ohio and the Missouri, and all those crops area are flooded, and what's happening now? There is no food supply in the United States. It will be. Eventually, and they cannot produce, and because of the. Right, they some people use the corn fields for oil, and it's a mess. Like you said, there is no solution for this. It keep getting worse. And you remember our talk? I also about the Muhaymin. We did. You said we'll do some research about these flooding areas. I did two research today. Yeah, it's amazing. We want to know why these areas have this punishment, is it nature, like they claim, or there is something into it? So I spent like 2 hours today searching two areas, Illinois and Missouri. Missouri, I found that there are two big companies there. I mean, the areas were flooded, Anheuser-Busch, which is the beer, and Boeing, with all this manufacturer Boeing, aircraft and stuff like that. Illinois, I found there is a contract have done last year with 5 major companies, contract defense companies, and they are all producing all the kinds you want about. So this flood get rid of all these contracts. The workers. This is just a quick search in the internet, the Google. I don't have a sign. Yeah, it's a wash. And
tsunami. Huh? About tsunami.
Yeah, and tsunami. I mean, we have like a 30 or more event happened in the last couple of years in the United States. It will be interesting to search each county, what they are, main economy is, what they who's living there, and why this happening. It will be interesting. It need time. I don't have time to do that. But this is not Allah is planning, huh? It's not just a coincidence like water coming flooding Mississippi levee open and by the way the what's happening in these areas, the mud who is going there, it's a soup of, they call it the poison soup. It's a sewer oil, all the industry things they dump it in the river, come back to them with E. coli, and so it's impossible to live there anymore. So there is no way you clean it. Walaikum salam. There is no way you clean it and live again. When they said, okay, we will gonna, build it again, there's no way now. It's done. I mean, the people, I was watching with my wife, people said, are you gonna live here? She said, no way. The smell is killing people. Where's the flood? The Mississippi? Where? Right, where, like, what I was reading today or listening to Missouri, I think, where's this flood levees, the Mississippi took the mud.
Contains a lot of.
Right. It's inside the houses and all the neighborhoods and stuff like that, to the point that there is no way to live there anymore. You have to leave. The whole area, you have to leave. It's E. coli. E. coli, I mean, intestinal diseases and, bacteria. It's a huge disease, And something you need billions of dollars to clean. If you have to sterilize the whole area, you cannot do that. So you have to leave. You have to leave it. Absolutely. So Allah al-Muhaymin, Allah decree something now. Of course, goodness, inshallah, will come after that. But it's you are right. I mean, we are going to have, if this keep going like this, we will have a shortage in food. Starting with this country, and it will affect all over the world, because it's, I mean, I don't know, like Ethiopia, they don't have a drop of rain, for example, but they cannot buy the food, even if, so the big people will happen that they cannot have the money enough to supply themselves to supply the poor people, so it will be a mess. Wallahu alam, this is a few news. I'm sorry for the bad
news. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه. Just to notice something when the brothers talk about this sadness in America or in all the world, everywhere there is a war, there is a, we know the situation is not good, it's very bad. So some people and some scholars also said this is maybe is the end of the world. The Sheikh said maybe is the Messiah Dajjal is there. Maybe we will be with us soon, inshallah. Just to comment on this, subhanAllah, it's وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So, and how we can, this is, I think, one question very important we have to ask ourselves, and we can perceive this mercy. So I think the idea here is just to point something important. Islam بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا. So the idea here is when we talk about Islam as a way of life, so some people say, yes, we are agree with you, it's a way of life, but not at this time. So in the period of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when somebody insists and say that we are going to the end of the world, means that Islam as a way of life, we cannot implement it. This is just a small logic. So what is our Islam? What we see as a message, how we can, what is this an-namudaj najih? What is this model of life? I think da'wah of the Prophet is to give a way of the life. The Anbiya and the scholars, they have this, what they call earth, this amana. It's amana to carry the message and implement it. So what I want to say about all these things is, alhamdulillah, we should have some hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring some people that they know really the message and try to implement it and be a mercy in all the world. Then I am sure there is a lot of ahadith who talk about the khilafah. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةُ الحديث الذي رواه إمام أحمد بسند صحيح تكون فيكم نبوة ما شاء الله أن تكون ثم يرفع الله إذا شاء رفعها ثم تكون ملكا عادا وفي الآخر ثم تكون خلافة على منهج النبوة ثم سكت. Means this is a hope for us to give the good news. I think this is the good news for how we can implement the good news. This is, I think this is the project. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakumullah khair. Just make a comment here that what we all talking about here is not anything but realizing the attributes of Allah around us and justice around us and fairness and goodness. It does not mean that we're happy that people are suffering, okay? It does not mean that when people are suffering, if they are disbelievers, we can just sit aside and be happy. No, it is a test for us as well, that those who are suffering, we can help and so forth. And this is part of what the brother was saying here. We're showing the namuzaj, the who is a Muslim and so forth, okay? But it is they say there is an early warning system. Okay, we have all the early warning systems. We have it in the Quran and Sunnah, right? We know, we see it coming. Okay, we know what is coming next and so forth. So yes, we see it coming. We try to educate ourselves to see the attribute, to feel the attributes and recognize the attributes of Allah around us. And these sessions to get us to that level, high level of implementing these attributes around us, so people will benefit around us. And also looking at all of this that's happening, and we recognize that it is in the way of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his plan in it and Muhammad in it and so forth, that puts a peace in our heart, okay? And if the calamity is happening to us or happened to others and so forth, we do not panic. We do not ask a question, why is this and why that? We say, this is the way of Allah and this is the way that is designed. And we do our best to alleviate pain and to do goodness as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us on earth for. Anybody else, inshallah, would like to say anything? Any sisters would like to share anything with us? Sisters? No? Okay. Any brothers, inshallah? What time do we have? Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا.